But it's a pretty safe environment here. We can luckily say that, so we can support each other and be with each other. And that's what I'd like to talk about today is the fact of that our society today, we tend to marginalize each other. I think even more so now than when I was growing up, especially politically and religiously. There's this team mentality that seems to pervade all of our society. We have to be on the right team, the right party, the right thinking. I was at a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine from high school's father passed away last week. I was at the funeral last Saturday, and it was at a fundamentalist Christian church, and the sermon was very comforting, was very nice by the minister, but he kept emphasizing that Wayne was on the right team, and he was going to the right place because he was on that right team. And as long as we got on the right team, then we'd be okay, and we'd be just fine. We'd get to find our way to heaven because we were on that team. Everybody wants to move everybody to the right team. So the title today I chose was Those, They, and Them. And why can't we all be we? Have you heard this phrase? Those people moved in down the street. They never take care of their houses. Thank God we are not like them. There goes the neighborhood. Are they African American? Are they gay? Are they Muslim? Latino? Are they white? Are they Unitarian? If they only knew. Does it really matter if our neighbors are different from us? If we always keep them at arm's length? If we do not get to know them, then we can imagine all kinds of stereotypes. And they, in return, may imagine that we are hostile, unfriendly, and maybe even prejudiced. Are we more comfortable with separation? It really is hard work to get to know someone. Maybe even harder to love them. Disturbingly, we seem to be more comfortable in society today with marginalizing people that we disagree with based upon what we feel are political views, what some would claim are just political views, but they really go to the essence of what it means to be human. How can it be human? How can it be ethical to tell two people who make a commitment to be together that they cannot be married? It's not human. It's not ethical. If there is a gay couple living next door, that means, as a red-blooded American heterosexual, that my marriage is somehow devalued and somehow made less sacred. Well, guess what? That same gender-loving couple, who are also red-blooded, maybe American, maybe not, they all want the same thing that all couples want. Love, companionship, respect, maybe children. As long as one partner is not being harmed emotionally or physically, then how can that relationship be anything but sacred? Single people today often get marginalized as well. Society thinks that a person that remains single is somehow less than human. A young man moved into our neighborhood, a young man who's in his early 40s. He told me this story last summer that one of the kids in the neighborhood came up to him and said, "Where's your wife?" And he said, "I'm not married." And then the little boy said, "Is your wife dead?" And he said, "No, she's not dead." "Are you divorced?" "No, I'm not divorced. I've never been married." Then the little boy looked at him and said, "Are you gay?" Probably heard his parents talking about why this young man is single, why he's living alone by himself. I would say that there's been many victories for the GLBT people over the last 2 years. There's been the Matthew Shepard hate crimes bill that's been passed, not only for GLBT people, but for African American people as well, and anybody of other races that are subjected to hate crimes. The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Civil unions in Illinois coming to liberal churches. Yes. We can expect to see many of those in the coming days, hopefully, here and other places. The president recently declaring that the administration would no longer support and defend the unconstitutional law of the Defense of Marriage Act. Of course, the forces that are against this are coming out in force now, and they've vowed that they will spend your taxpayer money to defend this law no matter what. The backlash is coming faster than a Westboro Baptist lawsuit, I can tell you that. That's why all people of marginalized people need allies, people who will stand in solidarity. GLBT people need straight allies to say, love is love, period, no matter what. The homeless and the hungry need allies to walk with them, not only to give them food and shelter, but to help them find their way to care for themselves. When Congress wants to cut the budget, where do they start? Always on the backs of the poor. Why? Because they have no voice. When they have a small voice that develops, zealots use any means necessary to keep them silent. Wouldn't it be a wonderful society if we didn't need government assistance for folks who have little, when we all took care of each other? If we saw a neighbor who was hungry, or a neighbor who had lost their house, that we took care of them, and all the people in the neighborhood band together to care for these people, then we wouldn't need the government to step in. But unfortunately, things like this don't seem to happen as much. There used to be something that was known as the common good. In the early part of the 20th century, theologians were developing what they called the social gospel, which proclaimed to all Christian people that it was our duty and our obligation to take care of one another. Being proud that your tax money was being used to benefit others. Immigrants who come to this country by any means necessary because they desire to have food, shelter, a job to provide for their families, we call them aliens, illegals, foreigners. A couple years ago, a friend at work who had just got her green card, which is also known as a resident alien card, said to me, "Do you know how offensive it is to be known as an alien?" I never thought of it before. But unfortunately, many in our society don't want to share. We like to build fences to keep illegals out. God forbid they have a better life. I was thinking the other day, what if Native Americans had thought about illegal immigration many years ago? The fact is, though, that they wouldn't build fences. They wouldn't pass laws. They wouldn't try to keep people out. They would try to live and try to share. Now I'm going to turn the tables on myself a little bit. When I see somebody with a Tea Party flag on their car or in their home, I want to say bad things to them. I want to stick fingers in the air. I want to be angry. I want to tell them, Why are you thinking this way? This is ridiculous, but I'm guilty of marginalizing them as well. I'm guilty of turning them into a they, when it's really we. It's really hard. It really is. It's so much easier to dislike somebody than it is to love someone. One last thing before I close, and I'm going to talk a little bit about something here that I'm going to use a word that some people might find offensive, and I'll try not to offend too many people. But I checked with Lane first before I used this word. She said it was okay, so. And that's the word queer. I'm going to try to explain that I am a heterosexual man who's trying to become queer. I read this sermon by a retired theologian. Her name is Dr. Carter Hayward. She was one of the first women ever to be ordained as an Episcopal priest. She was among a group of seven women who were irregularly ordained back in the 70s. They found a bishop who was willing to ordain them. Of course, their ordination was referred to as irregular, and it took many years to right this wrong. Of course, if it was men who were irregularly ordained, it would have been taken care of right away, but because it was women, It took many years of struggle. She writes, "The term queer, as I'm using it, let me be clear, is not simply a code word for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and other ways of being odds with dominant gender identity. Queer is not simply a reversal of a negative epithet so often hurled against GLBT folks in homophobic culture. Queer is not simply a synonym for being odd, unusual, or out there. But queer is bigger than GLBT lives. It's more than a linguistic reversal. It's a way deeper than merely being odd. It's a public, an announcement, a pronouncement, a way of being publicly in solidarity with the struggle for sexual and gender justice, and of irrepressibly making connections to other struggles for justice, compassion, and reconciliation." She says in this sermon that where she was, the Episcopal Divinity School in Boston, is, by the grace of God, a queer seminary. So I would say to you today that First Unitarian Church in Alton is, by the grace of God, a queer church. I must confess that I don't know what it's like to be marginalized. I can't tell you at all what it's like to be marginalized. But I do stand with those people who are marginalized, and I pledge to do everything that I can to be in solidarity, whatever that may be. Although I will never suffer the indignities and the injustices that others have suffered. But I can try to understand and try to walk that struggle. Another prominent theologian, Bev Harrison, said that the power of anger works for the betterment of all society. Her central insight is that far from being a bad emotion, anger is an essential resource for living vibrant, responsible, liberating lives in an unjust world. Without anger, Professor Harrison writes, we cannot live moral lives. Without anger, she says, we cannot be good Christians. So yes, we do remember the murders of our brothers and sisters who have hung on the crosses and still do, more than we will ever know, and we are angry. We listen ad nauseum to the fear-based voices of legislators, governors, candidates, presidents, bishops, popes, and they make us angry. We are beaten up by absurdities dressed in Christian rhetoric and by hate disguised as Christian love. Of course we are angry. And if we are not angry, dear ones, we are dead or we are dying. So I say again today that whatever we can do to turn they and those and them into we, as we can walk in solidarity, walk in justice, however little that we can do, is a blessing. And I'm glad to be part of this church where we can do that together. Thank you.